That's me. I am writing this and I am reading this, but at different times. But it's the same person, the reader, and the writer. Dear Hardy, referring to me, myself. Idea 1. Butch's dream has caused a paradox. If I get an idea now, and I want to express myself to fellow human beings, I can do so in a fixed variety of forms. I could write a poem, or if I had some funds, I could make a movie, I could make a cartoon, I could do a play, that I could do with some friends, or I could build some robots and do a play with them. I could do a puppet show, I could do a shadow puppet show, I could do an opera, I could make a song, I could do an expressive dance or a non-expressive dance. All those options are open to me. Or I could make up my own art form. It's easier to do the first kind. If it's a play, the audience will know what to expect. They'll sit there in their seat. They'll know that they're going to get a story, that the people speaking are the actors, and that some of them are good people, maybe some of them are bad people, that there's something going on, and that there's supposed to be some place that isn't necessarily the stage. Or I could present my idea in its own art form. I could make up a vocabulary that involves throwing applesauce at a concrete wall, and it might take the audience a little time to figure out what's going on. But eventually they might be able to interpret my very, very idiosyncratic, personalized symbols. The applesauce, the various types of food thrown against various types of walls. Some of them are just objects. Some of it's just a matter of flicking a type of juice at a platonic solid. And they would say, yes, but that is best done in a film, let's say, and that person might be some type of hero, and we'd know because of the costume, let's say a specific type of hat, a hero's hat. If you're making up the form, they won't know what the hero's hat is. These things are not mutually exclusive, but they do provide a certain tension. I want to be creative, but I must be so in the most rigid form possible. That's so strange. Is that not a paradox? I want to be truly free, but when I am truly free, no one seems to understand me. When I am confined, I can make myself clearly understood. Then I start to think, do I want to be clearly understood? Oh, everyone now knows the idea I am trying to convey. Pity all of us. Pity me for thinking it. Pity me for deciding to share it. Pity you for getting it inside your head without knowing where it came from or whether it'll be a good idea or not before it gets in there. Y'all invite it in. Do this with movies all the time. I shall now invite an idea to come into my head and live there indefinitely, maybe, depending on how long it wants to stay. It didn't sign any kind of contract. I don't remember giving it a key, but the agreement that we made when I watched the film, I guess that was the key. And now the idea can come and go, and it can sneak up on me when I'm sleeping. I think I have the place to myself, and then, boop, in comes that thing I let into my head many years ago. And here it comes back in. I live here too now and forever. You thought I was just visiting. No idea just visits. A lot of them will stay for longer than you know because they all make a copy of the key. All the ideas that come into your head are like guests who have stayed at your Airbnb and they've made a copy of your key and they think they can come back anytime unannounced without paying you. Sometimes you have to pay them in the form of patience or self-worth or just general energy level. I like to, it's, people don't realize that they're doing that. They go, oh, I have a mind palace. They go, now, is it your just yours? Oh, yes. Go, maybe you ought to check out some of the rooms. Okay, go look at some of the rooms because you're going to be interested of all the people that are living there. How did they get in? Did they sneak in? No, you invited them in. Is that like poltergeist? What is the plural? Poltergeist? Yes, I think it might be Nutzgeistes have come into your head and they're living there and they're in the rooms. I don't mean to scare you, but is that why when I have dreams at night, sometimes there's people in there? Yes, you've had them in. How do I get rid of them? Murder them in your head. No, don't do that. You don't have to kill them to get them out. Can I ask them to politely leave my mind palace? Depend who it is. Some people like being there, and some I keep there. Like, I have a lot of them are imaginary in my head, so I have a kitchen staff, but they're not real people. And they're not menacing or anything. They're just in there making up recipes. What are y'all doing in there? Oh, we're having a little bit of fun with the sugar and flour. All right, don't go crazy now. I know what you can go crazy with these little chef baking challenges at the middle of the night when you glug, glug, a little too much. That happens in my mind palace. I get a little too inventive, and then my mind will start making things up as I'm sleeping. It's like, why are you doing little recipe experiments? Do I have to get up now and try it for real? No, but you do maybe have to roll over and write it down on a piece of paper. Now, one time this happened to Butchie. He was having a dream, and I heard him in the other. Did you ever have a dog? Butchie's not a dog, but let's say he was a dog. Do you notice how a lot of dogs, when they're dreaming, sound like Shemp Howard? You go, Hardy, I don't know who Shemp Howard was. Oh, let me tell you the story. Boom, dum, dum, Shemp Howard was a man. No, I'm not going to tell you the story right now. It should be guitars and everything should have kicked in right there. I'm saying, but he was one of the Three Stooges, and when he dreamt, he would be dreaming a lot of times. He would be sort of talking in his sleep, and he'd hear, he'd go like this. Like, bee, bee, bee. I don't know if he's saying bee, 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 or wee, 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 or anything, but he'd go. And I also have had dogs that did that, and you may have too. And I thought, are they Shemp Howard? You know, because a lot of times people, they say people will be reincarnated as your pet. A lot of celebrities. You go, I know my celebrities. When my dog dreams, it goes, hey, guys, like that. I go, no, which one is that? Not Cagney. But in this case, I heard Butchie over there shemping. There's different kinds of shemping. That's one. It's going to be the other kind of shemping is if you're in a movie and you die. And then they put in a body double. Or nowadays, they would CGI shemp you, which is what they would, you know, make it look like it's you. Because they didn't get enough footage because you died. And so they just flesh it out with the, either a body double, like I said, the back of their head, which they did for the real shemp. They had a shemp back of the head double. He would just go running down the train the other direction. And you could finish the film that way. And now they do it. They did it with Carrie Fisher. They shemped her. Well, there's different ways of using the word. And then in Butchie's religion, it means a totally different thing. It's a homophone. It's a sci-fi homophone. Isn't that funny? It just sounds like another word that we use in our universe, but in a different universe, it has a totally different meaning. But there's just so many sounds that could come out of a mouth. And so, you know, we also have that word. It's so funny how that works. So Butchie had a dream over there. I said, Butchie, wake up, you're dreaming. And he said, why'd you wake me? And I said, he said, was I screaming? And I said, no. He said, then why on earth would you just wake me because I'm dreaming? And I thought about it for a minute, and I go, you're right. Why would I? I'm so sorry. It was probably a lovely dream. And he said, that's funny you should say that, because it was. and you ruined it. Why did you wake me up, I wonder? And I just, to this day, I don't know. But I think it's maybe so he could write it down, which is what he did. And a lot of times we'll do that and we'll roll over and we'll go, that doesn't look quite right in the daytime, because I remember it being a thought of genius. And there it is written out, doesn't quite look like genius. And what Butchie had written was scat chanting. We dispute this, whether it was chant scatting or scat chanting, but he wrote this and he said he dreamed that it was an amazing way of speaking lines, that it was a way of, it wasn't singing, it wasn't chanting, and it was a stylized form of theater or poetry or some sort of recitation, that there wouldn't be normal speech would be replaced by this way of speaking in which we chanted things over and over again to each other like this, or something more crazy or disassociated than that. I don't remember. I remember these things that he said to me. He said, oh, Hardy, I can't think of anything to say when I do it that way. I said, I don't know if that'll be very practical. But he wrote it down, and then the craziest thing happened. He went back in time. And he did this. He thought he was going to a talent contest. And you think, I will take some of the talents from today, which so many things that we do are like magic to the old timers, and go and take those to a talent show. And they'd be, what? So this is what he wanted to do. He said, I will take some modern theater theory and take that to a talent show years ago when they had like Greek theater or something with choruses, because I'm going to go and I'm going to like method act and I'm going to do some scat chanting, and I'm going to bring this tradition to these cultures. Maybe I'll go to Asia, to ancient Asia, and change the way they do theater. And I was like, well, good luck. And I guess he did it. And he's made this world. I don't know what this world would look like, friend, if it didn't have the just fixed forms that it has, that plays didn't look a certain way, that movies didn't look a certain way, that songs didn't sound the way that they do. They might have very different forms if this hadn't happened. Maybe each time that we sat down to convey an idea, we'd make a whole new way of doing that thing. There would be different types of plays. There'd be a different type of play for every different play. So not all of them would have heroes or villains. Not all of them would even have actors, maybe. Maybe some of them wouldn't be on stages. Who knows if you were even watching a play in the world that is supposed to be, that doesn't have the Butchie created paradox. How does it happen? It happens because, like I said, we let an idea into our heads and it lives there and it changes the landscape of the house and it starts to put up posters where there were none and it does modifications to its rooms and you forget that you're living in the same house. It makes you think it's some sort of an apartment building, that it wasn't supposed to be one house with one kitchen and one living room, that we were all supposed to live there together. But those rooms became occupied by others and they began to shut themselves off and create the illusion that it was all a hotel, all of this because something got in, an idea got in, somehow it got in. I think it got in through the radio. I think it got in through an ordinary radio.
Today, partly cloudy skies, highs in the low 50s, lows in the high 30s, no rain in the forecast, more of the same tomorrow, and you're never lonely with a deal a plan and ever remember. Master Marcus can teach you how to chant and how to lose yourself in streams of words till soldiers come and look for horses. What is this style? Master Marcus, can you teach me how to scat the chant and chant my heart away until the tears from the poetry roll down the face of folks? Call Master Marcus today and chant your troubles away a new way.
Make it the kind of dream that seems like it's a really important idea, but it's not. Make it the kind of dream where it seems like it's a really important idea, but it's not. Make it the kind of dream where it seems like it's a really important idea, but it's not.
Excuse me, is this seat taken?
No, go right ahead.
Thank you. I don't mean to impose, but you're dreaming.
Oh, okay, thanks.
The only reason I say this is because you're dreaming that you invented a new way of communicating, a new way of singing or talking called scat chanting.
That sounds dumb enough to be a dream.
And you're so convinced it's a real breakthrough in human creativity that you travel back in time to teach it, thus causing a rigidity in rule forming to overtake the art form.
I see.
So I just thought I'd let you know in case you want to wake up.
Oh, okay. I appreciate the help.
Mind if I come in?
I'm just about to get in bed. What is it?
I'm sorry. Time travel stuff is dumb.
Agreed. Good night.
Look, you're about to get in a time machine and go back in time and invent a type of absurd theater that then mutates into a religion of sorts, and then you teach it to yourself, and then that's what gets sent back in time.
What?
So what happens is you take a simple idea to the past with you. The simple idea that art needs no context, and it feeds back into a complex, stylized art form over time. You basically improvise in the far past, and that causes a rigid, stylized form to arise now.
So what?
It's still going, and it's erasing the agency of individual creators. It's made a world where you have to pick a particular vehicle for your idea. You can't just make up the type of art form. You have to pick from a limited amount.
Oh, man, what do you want me to do?
I'm really enjoying this scat chanting class with Master Marcus. I feel like it opened up a whole creative world for me.
I was in a play in high school, and that's where I got bit by the theater bug.
I know that bug. I'm so sorry. They need to clean that auditorium. It's a danger to the kids.
It really is. It scared me off of theater for sure. That and the orchestra monkey.
I didn't know about the connection of scat chanting to a part of my faith tradition, Dotrad Theater.
Dotrad, I love that. Weird costumes, and they talk so weird.
Yeah, well, weird to you is refined and stylized to someone else. It sounds strange to your ear, but if you know what you're listening to, it's beautiful.
I imagine that's true.
Like, take the first line in 500 Dead Magnolia Leaves, a famous Dotrad play. There's a bunch of ways to read the line or chant it. You can start to sing a note or chant a note, and then you try to fool yourself out of making a pattern. So, for instance, one way to say it is, the moon and the sun in the sky together, blue sky and clouds are also together. I stand here by the docks awaiting the return of my friend.
Oh, okay.
But the next time, it may come out better because it's a groove like speaking in tongues.
Ah.
Anyway, I'd love it if you guys were in a play with me sometimes. You don't have to take the class with Master Marcus. I could just show you some stuff, and then maybe we could put on a performance.
I haven't seen you this jazzed up about anything since wrestling, so of course.
Histories of Cultures. A series. Exploring Dotrad. What is Dotrad? To an outsider, traditional Dogarian theater can seem strange and confusing. The actors speak in an unusual and unrealistic manner. The costumes are weird. The stories are few and known intimately to the Dogarian audience. But to the rest of us, you might have no idea who these odd-looking characters are. Dargarian traditional theater gets its start in a few minutes when the subject of artistic style provenance and origin comes up. Conventions outside of context.
Oh, movie night. What are we screening?
Remember when we did that traditional theater performance for Butchie's service station?
That was a weird tradition, but still kind of compelling. If I remember it correctly, it was a play about two brothers, Butchie and Lou, who are separated by a demon spirit who is working for a local warlord who wants to destroy the peaceful kingdom of Musk.
I think that's right.
It helps if you know the story going into these traditional performances, because part of the tradition is not being able to figure out what's going on.
Also, I think the sound is sometimes more important than the content.
When the content leaves you no choice but to be entertained by the sound. Roll 'em.
The moon and the sun in the sky together. Blue sky and clouds also together. I stand here by the docks awaiting the return of my friend, Louis the Registrar, from the House of the Registrar.
You are like brothers.
We are like brothers. I was raised in the registrar's house as he registered and kept track of records. So he kept track of me, an orphan like a record, a broken little record.
Shall he return from the sea?
I hope so. That would mean he escaped the clutches of the Blueface family and the Daft General. I know he is sailing back now in safety as we speak.
May the seas be calm.
May he have been delivered to us like a craft site order.
Here comes an old person. Should I stop them from entering the docks, Rev Butchie?
No. Let them come forward if they wish to say something.
Your brother sails the different sea. Not a water wet one like the clear blue soup in this bowl, but a sea you can't see.
Stop speaking in your riddles, magic being, for that is what you surely are. I see through your masquerade, monster. Show your true form and state your message.
I have come to say your brother is lost but close, just on the other side of the curtain.
Still speaking riddles.
No, there is no clearer way to say exactly what I mean, Lord. Your brother is on another world, on another sea. And what world is that? It's right next to this one. The distance is to the end of your nose. And when he sails for this dock, he is turned away. And when you search for him, you will be lost as well.
Gosh, take him away.
Take who away?
That witch there.
This umbrella, you mean?
Yeah, now it's an umbrella. Take it away.
Yes, Rev Butchie.
It's gone.
It's gone.
My brother cannot be lost at sea. I will send a search party, even though clearly the witch said don't do that. But I super don't think they were on our side anyway.
Traditional theater has a lot going on there.
Yeah, stuff sticks to it over the years, I guess.
Very idiosyncratic pronunciation.
I felt like maybe Butchie was just making it up as he went along, but other performers seemed to know what to do.
So, let me get this right. One brother is waiting at the docks.
Yeah, Reb Butchie.
Reb? Like a rabbi?
No, it's a sci-fi homophone. That's when a name of something in sci-fi just coincidentally is identical to a real word or a real religious word.
Oh, I see.
The scientific justification is That could totally happen.
So Reb Butchie is waiting at the dock for the other brother who is at sea but returning.
Yes, that's Lou. Lou stole a ship and escaped from the Daft General and the Blueface Boys, who are menacing Butchie's County of Musk.
I got it. But since the brothers united pose a risk to the greedy power grab by the Daft people, they are being kept apart by deceptive magic, namely an umbrella demon named Lord Gum.
He is using magic so that he blocks the brothers' view of each other, so that they think that the other one is not there.
Ah, but then the one on the ship sees an albatross, and the albatross turns out to be a spirit of the brother's love manifesting in the form of an albatross. And it tells the one brother, played by me, all about this.
I don't know. Is that how it goes, though?
Sea-check.
Sea-check verified.
We are still at sea. The waves break over the bow, which can't be good, but it's invigorating nonetheless. I sail back to my brother's stronghold of Musky Island.
He will welcome us with whiskey and various foods and hospitality. Am I correct, Captain?
Yes. Butchie is the local magistrate and mayor. He still holds the county against the Daft General and the Blueface Boys. When we bring the ship into the dock at Musky Bay, he will be delighted to see we survived the invasion and got away with the Jewel family's ship.
Captain, an albatross.
By all means, feed it. Befriend it. Give it a name. Do fan art of it. But do not kill it. If you kill it, we become a ghost ship. Watch, I'll be the one who kills it by accident, the sole mournful survivor of this ill-fated trip. Oh, nope, it was Brian. Brian just killed it. Good one, man. Have fun in your living hell while we die of starvation.
I am not dead.
The bird speaks.
I am here to deliver a message from the gods of these parts.
Go on.
You and your brother are being driven from one another by magical forces employed by the Daft General.
How did he manage that?
The Daft people were once noble, and a magical being pledged an oath to them, and now they are calling in the favor.
Who is this creature, old seabird?
The creature is the Umbrella Lord Gum.
Lord Gum, the common demon? How does he have the power to keep my brother and I apart?
By simply obscuring your vision.
Tell me more, seabird. No, do not fly off so.
The seabird flies off. It is the spirit of the brother's community of love.
Was this type of theater developed so anybody could do the plays?
I asked Butchie that. I said, I feel like I have this down. This doesn't seem very complicated. But he said, it only seems easy to me because I'm doing such a bad job at it. I guess real Dogarians see the difference between my acting, which is not classically trained, and someone else who is smarter.
I was led to believe that the tradition was dying out, so Butchie wanted us to preserve what was left of it, to film one of the last Dogarian traditional plays. Dotrad even stands for Dogarian Traditional.
Oh, that's what Dotrad means.
What are you guys watching? Bachelor stuff or wiki-watchy movies?
Wiki-watchy?
Yeah, the place in Florida with the mermaids. My grandfather used to watch a short film he got there at the gift shop of wiki-watchy. And it was the mermaids doing Wizard of Oz.
Oh, we were just watching the Dotrad film.
Oh, 500 Dead Magnolia Leaves. Yeah, I know you think it's not a real thing.
No, we do not think that.
No, man, Dogarian theater is real. Right?
I don't know. Maybe. It's like kung fu classes. There's always a chance they're just making stuff up.
Is that why you always say, regularly get into fights to see if you're getting ripped off at your fight school?
I did say that, but I think I was talking about dancing. Always get into fights to test your dancing skills. I was taught this theater form because I was taking scat chanting lessons from Master Marcus.
Well, it's an interesting way of saying the dialogue.
A lot of it's intuition. and fighting intuition at the same time. You try not to repeat patterns. It's almost like you're camouflaging the words.
Oh, that's why its meaning is so hard to see. It's like you're in hunting camo. You should also use whatever the sound equivalent of deer pee is.
Well, I figured out the story, Butchie, so it's not too obscure. I never thought it was.
Wake up, Butchie. You fell asleep and your pancakes are here.
Oh, I dreamed I invented a new way of talking.
Other people's dreams are dumb and boring, and yet they're the basis of almost all reality.
I made up a way of improvising that was so transcendent, it liberated people's minds and allowed them to truly experience the art.
That's how you know it's absurd. If I can't understand what you're saying, that cuts off a lot of possibilities. It doesn't create them. So in a way, conventions are good shortcuts.
Hey, I didn't mention any of that. Am I still dreaming?
Yeah, but I got lonely. And your pancakes are here. At some point, you'll have to undo the paradox you created by making freedom seem rigid.
Camera pulls back into the air over Lou's shoulder. Lou and Butchie sitting in a booth at the pancake restaurant. Continues to pull back. They're still in the booth. Overhead shot looking down at the crowded restaurant.
They stuck me away like an old umbrella. But I am also the demon lord gum, obscure of vision, blocker of sightlines, cover of heavens, hider of faces. I leave water in corners and wet the feet of the mightiest warlords and the surprisingly slim and handsome peasants alike. I split up families. Shout the army of my demons.
Woman to see you, Lord Gum.
What is it, peasant?
Our village. It's being attacked by one of your enemies.
One of my enemies?
Yes, the Daft General.
The Daft General isn't my enemy, crazy lady. I'm doing a job for him. I'm just delivering on a promise.
But his men have invaded the valley that surrounds your mountain.
But it's my mountain.
We, the people of the village, come to beg your help.
But I'm helping them. Get the brothers Butchie and Lou.
I suggest you raise up a demon army and drive them out.
I will do just that, actually, but not because you asked. I was going to do it anyway. Anyway. Oh, nothing, Saren.
Okay, the first question is this guy here in the ugly shirt.
It's the same shirt that you're wearing.
I know. That's why I said that. Oh, my God. Well, what's your first question, Oscar Wilde?
I guess I want to know what everybody wants to know. Did you invent traditional Dalgarian theater, or did you discover it?
Everyone wants to know that, do they? Did I make it up, or did I discover it? If I discovered it and claimed to, they'd say I made it up. If I made it up, they said it was already in existence and I just found it. So I have no idea whether I invented scat chanting or discovered it as part of my research into Dotrad. You're missing the broader point, which is why repeat work that was done. Why repeat mistakes out of ignorance of the past? Certain things work in a tried and true. A form of play isn't a terrible thing if you understand and are familiar with the form in such a way that they don't have to reorient you every time they tell you a story, like movies. On the other hand, that is rigid, and you are always welcome to invent your own way of doing a thing. Just know that it probably sucks and has been done.
People have been making comic books a long time. There's a certain way to make them. Now you can break the convention all you want, and certain times that's fantastic. Other times it's not. People have been making plays a long time. You can break the convention. Certain times that's great. Other times it's not.
People have been making songs a long time. There's many ways to do them. You can work within the forms or without them. When you work without them, realize that it's like making a cake without a form. If you don't do it just right, the sides will flop in and it won't be appetizing to anyone. It won't matter how original it is. It won't matter that you've reinvented the wheel and, though it doesn't drive smoothly, it still works. So see, you can reinvent the wheel. It's just not as good as the wheel that's already been invented. But don't tell me what to do. I have made something that demonstrates the fact that when there is a continuum, when there's an evolution of thought, we all are born somewhere along that line of evolution. And we don't know always what work has been done, and sometimes we wish that some of the work hadn't been done so that we could invent ways to use, let's say, the camera. Oh, the camera has been explored now, hasn't it? So much. So my beard is rubbing against the microphone. Has that ever happened before? I guess if Santa Claus was on the radio, he'd be, oh, look what I've invented. That you should really not get close to the microphone because they can hear your beard. There are ways of doing things because others have made mistakes in the past. That doesn't mean that you can't make up new ways of doing them too. Ah, I love to ride that line. I go out there. Sometimes I ride using knowledge that we already know, like sit on the horse with your head going the same direction as the horse's, or sometimes I do it in my new made-up fun way, where I'm essentially on the horse what you would consider backwards, and then I don't really have control over which way I go or anything. But it's a trade-off, because I am free. Oh, sometimes my freedom makes me ridiculous, because you say, why be free in this instance, Hardy? Why do you need to, why are you taking your shirt off? I don't know. I didn't really think about it. I just thought, I want to be free of this shirt. But it's not, there's no point in doing it right now. I'm just exercising my freedom, because if I don't exercise it, what? I don't know. It's like your face. If you don't exercise your face, it still works, probably. I don't know what I'm thinking of. Biceps? I don't know. But a lot of things, if you don't exercise, you'll lose them, like your teeth. No, that may not be true either. Is there a hard, fast rule for everything? No. That's a contradiction as well. I think words are the problem. By trying to articulate and say things, we create paradoxes. Imagine how many paradoxes are created at, like, say, an art festival. Oh, all the things that are going on that contradict one another. I can't hardly fathom it. Can you imagine all these ideas that come into conflict with each other, that exist at the same time, but don't make any sense? I mean, I guess it's a wonderful thing, but it's also scary. Am I afraid to navigate this world? Yes, because there's no pilot. I don't mind being the navigator, but it'd be nice if that seat wasn't empty. Do I mind piloting the world? Yes, because then I can't navigate it. So it would be ideal if there were two of us, you and me. But aren't I am many. I am also many. So by two, I just mean not one. You know what I mean, all of us. How many of us are there? Listening to the show, you mean? I don't know, maybe. Oh, I guess there could be literally a lot of it. I don't want to speculate. Dozens, hundreds? In the thousands? Accidentally in the thousands? I don't know, but there could be. What if there were thousands of you listening right now to the sound of my voice? We're all together. And yet we consider ourselves two people. Isn't that interesting? Simply because we are not one. We are not alone. Others have come before us. They've done things. They've made mistakes. Look, there's a reason that a sandwich looks the way it does. There's other ways of doing it. They're just, maybe they're not as good. It doesn't mean you can't do it. The peanut butter can be the bread, and the bread can be in the middle. Sure, anything can be anything, my dear friend. But that may not be the greatest way to do it, which is why it didn't endure.
So there's other things you can do to be inventive, like you can embed cheese or olives or something in the peanut butter.
And yes, that does make it disgusting.
But disgusting, at least, is consistent. With what?
Oh, with
feeling things, with experiencing things, with discussing ideas and saying, yes, I hear your idea, my friend. This is what I say to my friends. I hear your idea, and I find it absolutely repulsive. And I'm sorry. And it's not a reflection on you. Oh, heck, it is. But do I mind? Yes and no. Just know that when I look at you, I think something repulsive. And that doesn't mean that we can't be together, but it does mean that when I see you, it triggers something the same way it does when I'm near garbage. No, I don't say these things to my friends. A lot of times, I'm thinking it. No, it depends on what their opinion is. Oh, I do care about things, but I also believe in the power of confusion to change hearts. I'd rather not tell you explicitly what I think, let's say, your moral failings are, because, well, I have them too, and you don't want to hear it from me. But I wouldn't mind saying something that made you acutely aware of one, and then you overcame it. Say, why are you? I think maybe you're preaching to the choir, Hardy. I think maybe that there's the people that you want to hear your non-message are not listening, and I think that's actually very consistent. If I don't want them to hear it, then no, this is just for you, my friend. We're congratulating ourselves, I think, for the power of love and understanding and loving ourselves and being open to feeling and understanding that others are experiencing something very intense this life. Oh, gosh, it's not for the something. I guess you don't have a choice, do you? If you're feeling it right now, it's sort of happening to you. And it can be alternatingly pleasant and excruciating beyond any kind of description. Oh, yes, hell exists and is real for some. And it might be for us, too. And so we cling to one another, don't we, and form this human raft. Am I face down? No, I hope not. Do we take turns on the human raft being... Can't we all just be face up? It might be awkward and uncomfortable at sometimes, but if we're going to be a human raft, heck, I think you'd perish quickly with your face down. No, let's look up to the sky and face one another. And saying, I am using you to buoy myself. We buoy one another. And I will buoy you and you buoy me. And then we will float upon these rough seas. Oh, I hear that on other planets there are seas made of gas. Like really bad gas. The kind you have and say, oh, I'm not used to having food up here in Vermont or something. They make it differently. It feels like a sea of ammonia on Saturn or Jupiter or one of those. And they say upon those seas, should you be lost, you will never survive because it's not even water. Here at least you have a little bit of chance, but it's not the kind of water you drink. I know that from the poem, water, water everywhere, what are you going to do? This is the kind of type that tastes like your shoe. It has the salt that's in it. It kill you dead as heck. Something, something, something. Strangled by the neck. Next question. But in a lake would be different. I say, oh, I'm drowning in the water. I'm not drowning. I'm having a sip of it. It's very fresh lake water. It's like Evian or something. Oh, I like this. It's not even like a swimming pool. It's delicious. It's Fiji water. Take a big gulp of it. So there's water, water everywhere, and I can drink it. Tell me of this paradise, Hardy. Oh, it's the paradise of being together and sharing the burden together and having the beautiful play and chanting together and making it up and being alone and together at the same time.
living those wonderful paradoxes together, understanding that there's no one answer to that question. To what question? Well, there was no one question, so that there you go. I'm just saying that you will hear me say, oh, you know, you were important. And then you hear me say, we're important. And then that's true at the same time. And you say, well, is it alternating back and forth? Or is it like a continuum true at the same time, like an all mixed up? And I go, that's very good. Nobody knows. That's actually the nature of time. We don't know whether things are sort of ticking or whether the hand's moving smoothly. One big thing, one big flow, particles, can it be divided up? Can you divide a thing up? I don't know. Zeno? I do know this, that I'm glad to be with you sharing this on the radio, because I have always believed in the power of the radio to reach people's souls through their ears. How is that physically possible? Well, that makes a lot of sense to me, because I believe that the human soul is connected to the human ear through a sort of tube. And that tube is made from the same stuff as we find in sausages. Yes, the kind of sausages that we get at the local supermarket. Fleshy sausage tubes. Connected to the human soul through your ear. And at the end of that tube is a little person listening, and they're writing things down. And they're like a bird in a Flintstones camera, doing the reportage for your brain. And your brain is a sort of hotel, and in that hotel are all the people you've met throughout the years. Living and dead, they occupy the rooms. They work there. They staff the restaurant. They get into silly little capers now and then. Stories that help us be diverted. Because the news isn't always great, is it? Sometimes they will bring newspapers to the front of the hotel and drop them off, and I will see stories about suffering. And sometimes it's the suffering of friends and people that we know. Sometimes there are sad occasions that we'll even have to attend and face the sadness a little more closely than we usually like to. Oh, doing that together, though, it doesn't make it disappear, but it makes us float above it somehow. You feel like you're assembled, you're part of a bigger, more durable robot. And I like that just fine. Not all the time, not all the time. Sometimes I like to travel lean. Sometimes I like to be just a gang of one. Sometimes I like to be my own family. I will look out onto this experience with my own eyes. I don't always need a reference point. I don't always need some sort of form or some sort of book or some sort of list to tick off the things that I like. I will look freely with free eyes. I will think freely with a free mind. I will go by myself into the woods of Inquisition. I will walk by the shores of knowledge. I will not fear the things I learn about myself or others. Then there are times when I want to be with lots of humans, other creatures. I lose myself in a group, and we stand all around, and we look at the shore, and we reach out our hands, and I don't have to be me anymore. Sometimes I like to be part of a bigger things. Other times I like to sleep by myself. In fact, I always sleep by myself, in the sense that when I close my eyes, it's just me. I could be on an airplane sleeping with a bunch of other individuals, but when I close my eyes,
It's just Hardy and Brain and whatever's left over there. And when I open my eyes, I see the other people. And I'm doing it right now, and I see you, my friend. And I'm glad that we're here and alive together. Oh, things could always be better. And they will be better. But maybe we'll be dead. We don't know. I don't know what's going on from one moment to the next. But I do know this. I do know that it's very confusing. And that if you are confused, you are not alone. And if you are lost, you are not alone. You are lost with the lost. There are nothing but lost. There is not but the lost. We are all the lost, and we are lost together in a big lost forest on a world that is also lost, no doubt. All these planets seem lost to me, all the stars too. There is not one thing in this universe that I can look out on that looks as if it knows where it's supposed to be. Oh, it's all moving about all the time. Hither and dither, is it not? In circles. It moves in circles. What kind of thing moves in circles? A thing that is lost. You say, oh, it's going around in circles. I see them circling the block. They could be lost or shady. That planet keeps coming around here. Every time, same time, all the time, I see it. It's waiting to see if we leave. And then if we leave, it's going to sneak in. No, that's not it. It's lost, too. And it's driving around the block, waiting. It doesn't want to ask. None of the planets want to stop and ask where they are. None of the souls in this world want to stop and ask where they are. They're all mortified. They could not be more frightened. How did I get here? I don't want anyone to know that I don't know who I am or what's going on or what's supposed to be the deal here. We've got a bunch of very frightened human beings out there. Every single one of you. Oh, Hardy sees through you with the glasses of experience. Everyone who says they know are deluded or self-deluded or lying about being deluded or don't want to be deluded or have convinced themselves otherwise because it's too painful to know. The not knowing looms all the time like a shadow clinging to us. The clingy shadow, which was a name I was going to use as a sort of superhero, but I ended up doing it. I did the floating bowl of wheat was my superhero for a while. Listen, I'm sorry. I know that you might have to say confident things to get by in this world. I understand that. I'll let you do it. That's fine. But when it's just you and I, when we're just talking like this, I'm sorry, but I know I've been around the lost, and I know the human beings, they don't know. And I know the pain that that alone brings, not just the pain of the consequences of this world that are often unpredictable, and the affliction of our bodies, and the temporary nature, and the morbidity. But I also understand that even with all the understanding, that there is, at the base of it all, a lack of really knowing, and a doubt, and we're plagued by it. And that's absurd, because what are you doubting? That there's something that we all don't know? If we all don't know it, maybe it isn't a knowable thing. Maybe it's confusing. Maybe it's a paradox made by a little time traveler who made a mistake because he had a dream. And his dream seemed like it was a wonderful discovery of a new way of doing something. But at the same time, nothing could be new. He messed up time and he messed up our dreams and it was a little tiny accident and now everybody feels confused and is so afraid to say so. Afraid to say, I don't know, I must depend on my fellow human being. I must open my heart up to truly know. I must let down my defenses. I must be vulnerable in order to get what I truly need, that love that I truly crave. I can only get if I open myself up to these frightening truths. Oh, can you do it? Oh, let them in. Start with just letting me in, somebody you don't know.
Oh, come in.
And we'll start to go through your mind palace and question who's in there so that you feel safe in your own brain. And we can go and do that together for a while, and I won't stay just because I get bored. And you know I'm not going to hang out. I'm not one of those people that hangs out. I'll be moving on. Say, where did Hardy go? I don't know. He got restless. I think he went out. He said, I need a soda. And then he was gone. And I'm sorry I didn't say goodbye or anything. But I just got to get out of there. Got to get out of there. Got to get out of there. That's how I feel. Oh, I'm so blessed to be with you right now. I love the time we have together. I love the times we have alone. One time a week is just fine for me. And don't you? I got to go off and do something. And then I can come back and tell you about it. Oh, I love being together and I love being apart. It's so weird that time makes these things seem like they're both happening and both not happening or both opposites. I'll never figure it out, but I'm glad we have this time together to do it. And I'm glad that we are able to share our hearts like it was dessert. But we don't really eat them because they, oh, eat your heart out. But don't do that. I forget what it means. I think it means be jealous. Eat your own heart. Eat part of yourself. Self-cannibalize like a cave cricket. No. I don't want to do that, and I don't want to make somebody else that jealous. Don't ever be that jealous of another human being. Say no. Let them eat their own legs. Is what I say when I go by somebody with a really nice house. I go, I hope you're in there eating your own feet. I don't say that. I don't care. Believe me, they got problems. Maybe they're not as bad as yours, but just look. Just look. Sometimes you can just tell somebody, you can look at somebody's architecture and you can go, yeah, I don't want that. Their heart. Look at the architecture and now think about what that says about their soul. Really? I don't know. Maybe. I think so. I think there's a certain type of driveway that says, I'm dead inside. Oh, I love you, my friend. I hope you're not dead inside. I hope we're alive and having a great time. I hope that we get to have adventures together again. I hope that you will join me again next week for more Miracle Nutrition with Hardy Watt on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, New York, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. Thank you for joining me, and I will see you again next week.
decided to stop at my old folks' home. And as I stopped at my old folks' home, you see, people were lying down in a bad condition, you see. And oh, Lord, yeah, you know, I just couldn't help from crying. As I walked a little further up, I began to see little children in the same kind of bad condition, you see. Sang this song. Oh, you don't know. I know you don't know. And yes, you just don't know now. I declare you don't know what kind of condition you might get in before. Tell ya just as much as you please, but yeah, the more you keep on talking about me, I'm sure enough gonna bend my knee. And yeah, 'cause you don't know, I know you don't know. And yeah, you just don't know, children, I know you. You might get in.